It's something that we all experience, but we don't always admit. Those times when following Jesus seems really hard, or maybe worse, when you just don't feel at all close to Jesus, when you're tired and you're fed up and you're not quite in the mood to be holy. But the good news for you this afternoon is this, that God doesn't only work with people who are on form. He works with the real, the messy, and the ordinary you and me. The version that snaps at people off and on. The weak, the one that feels anything but close to God. And guess what? If you look around you, you're in good company. You know, the first disciples of Jesus, they were a bit of a mixed. He was passionate. Literally, he cut off someone's ear in the garden. That's not very pastoral, is it? James and John once pulled down on a village that didn't welcome there. Really seen him, he's alive. Matthew, a former tax collector, basically seen as a traitor. Simon the Zealot, possibly involved in anti-government revolts and, let's say, not your small group leader. In short, Jesus chose a bunch of very ordinary, occasionally awkward, occasionally argumentative people. He didn't wait for them to get all polished up before he called them. So what is it that we feel this need to have ourselves all together before we come to Jesus? We've got it the wrong way round. Sometimes we overthink what it means to be a follower of Christ. We picture someone who wakes up at 5 a.m. to pray, or has color-coded notes in their Bibles, or doesn't lose their temper in the traffic. But real life is far more interesting. Let me say to you this clearly this afternoon, that God is not surprised by your humanity. He doesn't panic when we doubt or stress or make a mess of our week. There's somebody in the Bible called Elijah, a prophet, the prophet of fire. He called down fire from heaven, but shortly after he had done that, after he had seen the power of the fire of God fall from heaven, what does he do? He runs off into the wilderness and he says, Lord, I've had enough. And what does God do? Does he tell him off? No. He gives him a nap and something to eat. That sounds lovely, doesn't it? You see, sometimes the holiest thing that we can do is to rest and eat. Remember that we are not alone. You see, faith isn't always fireworks. Sometimes it's just a little flicker. And we love the stories of radical faith in the Bible. Peter walking on the water, Paul preaching to the masses, David slaying Goliath. But most of faith is in the quiet and the hidden bits. Doing the right thing when no one is looking. Praying even when you don't feel like it. Turning up to church when it would be easier to stay home and binge watch one of the Netflix series. And if your faith is small, feeling small today, that's okay. It's all right. Because Jesus said that the faith the size of a mustard seed can move mountains. He didn't say faith the size of a stadium. He didn't even say faith when you feel confident. He said, just bring to me what. I want to tell you today that God works through you, not just around you. Sometimes we think that God is working in spite of us. And we say, well, God's using me even though I'm a mess. But what if God is using you through your mess? What if the way you've come through brokenness or burnout or loss or even doubt, that's part of the story that God tells through you? Your testimony isn't, I've got it all together. But it's, God is still with me. Even when I don't have it together. You don't need to be polished to have purpose. So let's just take a moment. What's the version of you that you think God can't use? Think about that. Is it the tired you? Is it the confused you? Or the one who doesn't have fancy Bible language or a spiritual CV that long? I want to remind you that you are exactly the one that Jesus loves to work with. Now let's talk about the journey of following Jesus. When it feels long, I find that a lot. Or slow. Or slightly confusing. I want to just remind you this afternoon that the Christian life isn't a sprint, but it's a walk. Some of us were sold a version of Christianity that went something like, get saved, become instantly holy, live happily ever after. And then reality hit. You've got saved, but you still struggled. You said yes to Jesus, but your doubts didn't disappear. You tried to walk in faith, but you still tripped over your own shoelaces. That's not failure. That's discipleship. The Bible constantly talks about walking with God. Not sprinting, just walking. One step at a time. Walk humbly with your God. Keep in step with the Spirit. The righteous walk by faith. Why? Because growth is a slow process. And it's okay if you're growing slowly. Even Bible heroes took their time. I'm going to take you on a little tour of the Bible. Moses, called by God, then spent 40 years in the wilderness. Joseph had dreams, but waited years in prison before he saw them fulfilled. David, anointed as a king, but spent ages running from Saul before wearing the crown. It's easy to read these stories in 10 minutes and think that their lives move fast, but they didn't. God takes his time, not because he's slow, but because God is thorough. And when it feels like you're stuck, maybe God's doing something deep in you that just can't be rushed. Compare yourself to the faith of others around you. This is so big, especially in this age of social media. We see other people's highlight reels on social media, their perfect family photos, their glowing testimonies, their exciting ministry moments. And we think, why is their journey going so well while mine feels like I'm walking through soup? Have you ever felt like that? Careful of social media. But here's the truth. God writes unique stories. That you're not behind. And you're not late. But you're in part of the process of God, just where he wants you right now. That just because your story looks different to mine, walk your path. Walk at your pace, but with Jesus. Let him lead you. Listen for him. Sometimes the best thing that you can do for your spiritual life is to take a nap. Now, I'm not encouraging you all to fall asleep in church, right? Elijah took a nap. Remember, we're not machines. We're not called to constantly be alert and our faith at top level. You see, when we rest, we're saying this: God, it won't fall apart if I stop. That I'm not the Savior, but you are Jesus. So if you're weary today, Jesus says this to you: come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Hallelujah. Somebody, come. Can we say that? Come on. Come to me. Not a lecture, not a to-do list, just rest. Church, the destination is so worth it. Hallelujah. I know that following Jesus isn't easy, but it's worth it. Because at the end of the journey, there is just in eternity. But in knowing him more deeply, in seeing his faithfulness, in becoming more like him, little by little. And when we finally see Jesus, it was worth every awkward step we took, every season of waiting, and every moment of trust. So let me ask you this afternoon. Are you tired? Are you wondering if God is still working? Are you struggling to feel spiritual? I want you to hear this today, that you still belong to Jesus, that He is still with you. So keep walking. Keep walking. Don't quit. Keep walking with Himself. There's a big difference between feelings and faith. If we choose the way we feel, then we're not choosing faith. Choose faith. Amen. Keep walking. Amen. Keep encouraging one another. Do you know how to encourage one another? Yeah? Come on, if you're walking in town and you see somebody, go up to them and not fight with them. But walk up to them and say, I just want to remind you how much Jesus loves you and He's with you today. That's what Jesus community looks like. If you're feeling anger towards somebody, deal with it before you approach them. And you know, you deal with it, you say, Lord, would you take this anger from me? Boy, I've had to do that so many times this week. And walk to them and just say, you know, I love you. Harder. We don't have to walk around tired and weary. Because Jesus has given us that invitation. And He doesn't lie. Take your steps. Even if it means one or two at a time. You know, when I first came to Jesus, I would take two steps forward and then I would take, and I had to choose whether I was going to stay back there or if I was going to round in with Jesus. And when I made that decision, I would take more steps forward. Oh, and then, but I was further on than what I was there. And then I would decide to carry on walking. What I was. You see, when we take two steps with Jesus, 5 or 6 back, and we don't choose faith, that we don't choose Jesus, then this is exactly where we are going to stay. Today, to not give up. But to keep walking with Jesus, one step at a time. And He has a wonderful purpose for every single one of you. I don't care what people say about all of you. I really don't. I care about how you see yourself through the eyes of Jesus. And He sees you beautiful and with purpose. No matter what you've done. You know my mistakes, I'm quite open about them. So don't stop when you take the steps back. But keep walking. Because Jesus has got your back. You won't be disappointed in Jesus. 38 years, I've never, ever once been disappointed in Jesus. Only in myself. So, can we just declare that? Can we just stand? And just say, Lord, today I will start walking again. I trust you. Thank you for my purpose you've given me. Thank you for the work you're doing in my life. We love you, Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. Testimony. Would you like the mic or? Hold on, I'm virtually undressed now. Hold on. I'll just hold it here for you. Hold on. Wait a minute. Just
hold it. What? Hello, so this is called Close Encounters of the Dangerous Kind. And it's about how the Lord rescued me from danger. I'll try and talk slowly because I tend to talk fast. So there's two encounters. I've got loads more, but I haven't got time for all of them. And they took place in Africa, in Zimbabwe and in Zambia when I was in my late 20s, many years ago. What happened was I went on a group, I was like on a tour, sort of, it was called Drifters, from South Africa into Zimbabwe and then Zambia on a 16-day tour camping. And we went white water rafting on the Victoria Waterfalls, grade 5 rapids, which is quite dangerous. It is, and I'm a strong swimmer, and we all had life jackets on. And what happened was our boat capsized, the one I was on, and there's all these rapids that in spite of wearing a life jacket, you get sucked under. And one of them's called Double Trouble, another one's the washing machine, because you spin round and round. Another one's the other one's Stairway to Heaven or Gateway to Hell. I don't know which one I landed in, but all I can say is I got sucked under, a bit like quicksand, so I was drowning. And it was so scary, panicking, because you're, you know, alive and well and healthy, and there's nothing you can do about it, you know, just water in your lungs. My friend said that she knew I was in trouble because my flip-flop landed by her side in the water. The tour guide was trying to keep my head afloat, and he was struggling and really battling because it was very, very difficult with the current was so powerful and forceful. So we had the canoe team that were on standby that came and rescued me. Then I was in the riverbanks and just spitting out and coughing out all of this water. It was such a shock. It took a while to get over. That was the one thing. And the second one that happened in Zambia, the River Zambezi. We went kayaking, canoeing, I was, and a group, and there was hippos very close to us, and they were there young, and they get very territorial with the herd. And at one point, we just sort of, because it was very hot and the current was quite strong, and I was in the front, and I had a hefty man behind me, and I remember the tour guide, the local guide, said at one point, we were sort of sitting taking photos of these hippos, we were so close. He said he was really sort of panicking. He said, row, don't just sit there or stare and stare. They could have had us for lunch, and it was exhausting. It was hard work because I was in the front rowing really hard, and I just felt, oh, they're going to eat me, you know, have me for their lunch, sort of resignation. But there was also crocodiles as well, so if the boat did capsize, you could be in a bloodbath. So we had the crocodiles and the hippos very, very close, and I don't know how, but the Lord got me out of it, because when I was later on the motorboat, we could have, some of the hippos were actually chasing the boat, and they are very fast swimmers. And as I say, if you get too close to their young, and the guide also put a stick in the water so it would echo, and all the hippos' heads would come up, the sound and the vibration, so you'd know you were safe. Well, I've had many more incidents, and I won't go into detail, and miraculous healings and all sorts, and nearly drowned in the sea. But I always get back in there, done diving course, and I don't let the sea or the water or anything cause fear. But it was just, yeah, I've had several miracles of being life-saved, but I haven't got time to go into detail. So So that's about it. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, there's something for us to remember, isn't it? God is always with us. He says he will be our protector. That's his promise. Our protector, our deliverer, and our provider. I was encouraged by Will. He was telling me about how he prayed and got himself an air fryer and all sorts of things from just praying. And that's what it's about, you know. Even the simple things are miracles sometimes. So keep going. Keep going. Hallelujah. Let's stand and let's sing the closing song.